Welcome back to the second edition of my new podcast, Let There Be Light, where my goal is to discover the light among the much darkness that we have in the world. As I said last week, there's so much darkness in the world, there's so much sadness, there's so much challenges, there's so much tragedy, and we can speak about this and never stop speaking. And that's not the goal of this platform. Rather, the goal of this platform is to rather uncover the sparks of light in this world and identify them and hang on to them. So I want to thank everybody for all the positive feedback I got for this podcast, and want to kindly ask to continue spreading and sharing this podcast if it finds favor in your eyes. So I want to start off with a question this week. We are in the week of Purim already, so I want to ask a question about Purim. Purim seems to be the only holiday that we do not say the Hallel prayer. And the question has been asked for already several years. Why is it that Hallel is not said on Purim? You know, we know it's a rabbinic holiday, but so is Hanukkah. And yet Hallel is not said on Purim. The Talmud in the Tractate of Megillah asks this question, and the Talmud answers, responds with three responses. And one of the responses is that even after the miracle of Purim, meaning even after the Jews were saved from the plot of the genocide that was hatched by the evil Haman, Haman, but nonetheless, they were still subjugated to the rule of Achashverosh. We were still the Avdei Achashverosh, in the words of the Talmud. And therefore, since we were not completely independent, we were not able to go ahead and say, the Hallel prayer, which is seems to be kind of odd, considering the Megillah does say, after the Purim story, that the Jews experienced great simcha, as the text of the Megillah says, "Lahudim hoisa ora v'simcha v'sasa mikar." They had great simcha and joy, and they were just festive. So if they were so festive, why could they not say Hallel? Or you can ask it the other way around: if they weren't able to say Hallel because they were subjugated to the Ruach Hashverosh, why were they so festive? Which leads me to my thought of the evening, or the theme of my podcast tonight, is that in life, we don't have perfect days. We don't have perfect situations. We live in an imperfect world, and this imperfect world is populated with imperfect people, and imperfect people create imperfect situations. And yet, we have to go ahead and carve out situations of simcha within these imperfect situations and imperfect circumstances. You know, King David wrote in, interestingly enough, in the Hallel, "Zeh hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nesmacha bo." This day God created, let us go ahead and be happy and joyous with it. You know, which day did God create and let's be happy with it? You know, yesterday, let's fantasize about the good old days. No. Those days are over, and are we going to go ahead and fantasize about a future day? No, this day, this imperfect day as it may be, let's go ahead and hang on to the spark of light within this day. So that's what I want to kind of dwell on this during the few moments that we have today. So I want to kind of go ahead and unpack it this way. Many times, we're unable to go ahead and find joy in this day because we're trying to relive the past and go back to the past and say either the good old days, or this day is not measuring up to the past, or we have baggage from the past. You know, I had such a difficult past, and I'm not trying to minimize that. And so obviously some people had pain in their past and some people had difficult days in their past. But you know what? The past is the past. You know, when I think of the past, sometimes I think about the Groundhog Day syndrome. You know, Phil Connors. You know, the movie Bill from Bill Murray. You know, that classic. Bill Murray stars as Phil Connors, the TV weatherman that goes to Punatuxi, Pennsylvania, and every day he keeps on reliving, the same. He keeps on reliving the same day in Pennsylvania, checking out the weather. You know, there's that famous quote that he comes down and to the kitchen and the bed and breakfast that he's in, and he says to the woman serving the breakfast in the morning, "Did you ever have?" Her name was Miss Lancaster. "Do you ever have deja vu, Miss Lancaster?" And she responds, "I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen." I don't know if you guys remember that that quote, but you know, and he keeps on reliving the same day. That is the Groundhog Day syndrome. We cannot relive the same day. We can't relive the past. The past is the past of our, you know, the past is the past. And yeah, we have. I don't want to sound insensitive. I know people have difficult pasts, and people have trauma and had challenging individuals in the past. But if that's going to impede our future ability to have simcha, that's very unfortunate. So let us not be subjugated to the Groundhog Day syndrome. That's the last way I'll call it. And moving to the future, sometimes we handcuff ourselves to and don't allow ourselves to have simcha because we fantasize about the next phase in life. The next phase in life, because I can't go ahead and have a simcha because I'm trying to get a job, and right now I don't have that particular job. Or my kid needs a shidduch, and because my kid doesn't have a shidduch, I'm totally depressed. And or I'm trying to get into college myself, or I'm trying to get. And I'm not trying to like be insensitive, and I'm not trying to have a lack of empathy, and I'm not trying to downplay the difficulties and the challenges of all these situations. But you know what? We can't allow these situations to hijack our ability to have a lack of simcha on the present. Zeh hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nismacha bo. This day God created, let us rejoice and be happy with it. It doesn't mean to say that there can't be a better day in the future, but this day God created, let us be happy with it and rejoice with it. This was written by David HaMelech, King David, who had very difficult days. Very, very difficult days. He had his father-in-law wanted to kill him. His son rebelled against him and wanted to go ahead and kill him. He had people that delegitimized his not only his monarchy, but delegitimized his status as a Jew when they questioned his grandmother's conversion. He had an extraordinarily challenging and difficult life, yet he was able to say, "Hayom asa Hashem nagilu nesmcha." This day God created, and let us be happy and joyous with it. I want to go a step further, and I hope I don't offend anybody. And please, nobody should misunderstand what I'm about to say. In many circles, whenever there's a discussion of difficult news or difficult situations, people say, "Oh, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming. There's messianic days ahead of us." Okay, so I hope no one misunderstands what I'm about to say. But the Talmud says there's a few views on how messianic days are going to look. The Talmud rules, and this is from the Amora Shmuel, which in fact the Rambam, the Maimonides rules like Shmuel, that there's no difference between the current days and the Imos HaMashiach, the Messianic days, Ela Shibud Malchias Bovad, which means that the only difference between the situation of our lifetime and the way that the world is going to look in the Imos HaMashiach, the Messianic times, is that Jews around the world are going to gather in the land of Israel. Mashiach is going to go ahead and lead the people to rebuild the temple, and we're not going to be subjugated to the United Nations, we're not going to be subject to the European Union, we won't be subjugated to what America thinks. We'll be a sovereign nation, and we'll be able to go ahead and rule ourselves independently, and we'll be able to connect with God that way, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the temple, led by a king, Melech HaMashiach. But there's still going to be poverty, as the Torah says, "Ki lo yachdal evyon mikarev ha'aretz." There's not poverty will not perish from the earth. It's a verse in Parshas Re'eh in the book of Deuteronomy. There's still going to be poverty. There's still going to be wars. There's still going to be death. And there's still going to be lots of stress in life. So when we fantasize about some utopian that we're not necessarily, I think, even familiar with, and we say, "Oh, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach." Yeah, of course Mashiach is coming. We should pray for the Messianic era. We should hope that's the ideal, of course. But to somehow like suggest that like Mashiach is coming and there's not going to be any like stress level ever when Mashiach comes. God willing, Mashiach will be here next week and we'll celebrate Purim in Yerushalayim and in Jerusalem, and we'll bring a Korban Pesach this year. And anybody that's going to a Pesach program in a hotel, I'm sorry to ruin your plans, but we're really going to be in Jerusalem this year, celebrating the Pesach in Jerusalem with a rebuilt temple, bringing the Korban Pesach. But you know what? It's going to be quite stressful. And we have to go ahead and realize that there are no perfect days. And we have to realize, Zeha Yom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nesmacha Bo, this day God created, let us go ahead and be happy with it. There are imperfect days, and these imperfect days are going to last as long as this world exists. You know, in Olam Haba, in the world to come, that's a different story. That's a different story. When this world comes to an end and Hashem takes our soul to the next world, that's a different story. That's going to be a perfect world with a perfect equilibrium, and that's going to be a completely different situation. But as long as we're in this world, we're going to be in an imperfect world with imperfect people and imperfect circumstances, and it's our challenge to go ahead and say we have to live in the present. We can't be hijacked by memories of the past, and we can't fantasize about an unrealistic future, and we have to go ahead and live in the present. And that was one of the amazing things of the Jews of that time. They were able to say, Lehudam Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Kor. They were able to go ahead and have Simcha, tremendous Simcha and joy, despite the fact they were subjugated to the rule of Achashverosh, who was never a lover of the Jews. He, in fact, was a Persian king, did not allow the Jews to rebuild the Second Temple. His successor, Darius II, allowed the Jews to go ahead and rebuild the temple, the Second Temple. That's a different discussion. Even after he was benevolent to the Jews, after Esther interceded, he didn't allow the Jews to rebuild the Second Temple. We were still Achashverosh's subjects, but nonetheless, we were happy with this situation, though it was imperfect. And that's something I think we have to go ahead and work on. Our lives are not going to be perfect from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. Our lives are not going to be perfect, from the time, we drop our kids off in school to the time we pick them up. There's going to be some things that are not perfect. There are, going to be some things that are not perfect in our workplace. There's going to be some things that are not perfect in our kids, either school or camp or in our family situation. And the question is, what are we going to go ahead and look at? A lot of times we have these sparks in our life, and we don't even realize what we have. We don't realize the situation that we're looking at. There was this amazing story a few months ago about this woman from central Iowa, from a small town in Iowa. Her name was Lorraine West, from Redfield, Iowa. And I just wanted to tell the story about this woman that, she, in fact, an amazing story about this woman who, in fact, won the Powerball jackpot back in October, this past October in 2018. She won half the jackpot, $343 million. But listen to this amazing story of how she actually almost lost the ticket that she won. So the story was that she was moving into her new home in late October, and she and her sister stopped for pizza and coffee at like a local small grocery store. So while she was there, she bought an Easy Pick Powerball ticket. She thought she put her ticket into her purse in her sister's truck. But the jackpot winning ticket for a time was misplaced, and it fell into the floor of that pickup truck. Now, when the ticket was drawn, it ran around the country on the news that there were two winners, and there was a winner from Iowa. But she didn't know that she even won the ticket. She was so preoccupied with moving. For those of you that have moved. Everyone knows it's a very stressful thing. So she gets a text from a friend in New York saying, "Hey, I heard somebody from Iowa won the Powerball. Do you know who it is? And she's like thinking to herself, huh, I bought a Powerball ticket a couple days ago. I wonder if it's me. And then she starts looking around for the ticket. And guess what? She can't find it. So she calls her sister up and she says, you know what? I was in your truck, you know, and I bought the ticket and I'm not sure where it is. Do you mind looking? So the sister starts looking through the pickup truck. And lo and behold, on the bottom of the pickup truck, on the floor, she finds the ticket. She rushes over with the ticket, and lo and behold, this ticket was the winning ticket for the Powerball lottery, which won her $343 million Powerball jackpot. Now, there's a lot of angles on the story, but the point I wanted to suggest on is that she has a whole stressful life. She's moving, she's rushing, she's rushing in for a coffee or for a pizza. She quickly buys a ticket, and on the bottom of her pickup truck, she has the winning ticket. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you a question. We're rushing here, we're rushing there, we're rushing here, we're stressed out here, we're stressed out there. And sometimes I think that we just have to look and realize that sometimes in the bottom of our proverbial or figurative pickup truck, we can have a winning ticket ourselves. Zehayom asa Hashem, Nagila v'nismachabo. This day God created, let us be happy and rejoice with it. There are no perfect days. There are no perfect people. This is an imperfect world. There's a perfect God that created deliberately an imperfect world with imperfect people, with imperfect situations. And he deliberately put us into this spot. And our challenge is to carve out opportunities where we can find those sparks of light among the many moments of darkness, many moments of sadness, many moments of tragedy around us, many moments of challenges. So we can go ahead and identify those pockets of simcha, and we can finally say, let there be light.